It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Why this medical bill that's going through both houses, a pox on both of them, forgive me, is because why it's so expensive and it will bankrupt the country. It will, just that by itself, along with other things, but mainly that, because most of the country's sick. And very simply, we've come to live, believe that our doctor can help us, and so therefore we can eat and drink and do whatever we want and have any lifestyle we choose, because, well, we can always get fixed by the doctor. It's a very, very dangerous thought. And I would spare you the suffering that is the outcome of such thinking, but you may not think it openly. But tonight I want to talk a little about what went on last night. And there was a lady that called, and her husband was in dialysis. He's called a few other times. We've had little chats. They're nice people. And but the bottom line was, I said she was killing him with love. And love can kill you. And if you say I love too much, that's what's the matter with me, you're actually admitting to a flaw, meaning it's wrong kind of love. There's two kinds of love, and that's what we're going to talk about this evening, a little bit. But when I start to pontificate, I tend to shut down intelligent inquiry. So this program depends upon intelligent people, searching people, dialoguing with me with their problems. Now, there's a certain difficulty concerning that, because there's always a fear that you might be recognized and the voice might be recognized. But I'm not going to go into anything unpleasant. Admit that you had sex with a dog or something like that. It's not necessary. I mean, I'm just pulling something out of the air just to horrify you just a little bit. So there's no need to tell me all of the things of your sordid past. Because I have a CD that the military have that, and we've given 26,000 away already in the last approximately 12 months. And it's called the Coping Strategies, and it has a technique on it where the soldier, the veteran, those who have post-traumatic stress disorder, and those who are going into battle who won't get it because of that, can actually make peace with their creator in a sense, without any therapy. In other words, they fix themselves. They know how to fix themselves, and that's not quite accurate. But let's use that term anyway, because you don't see another force involved in the fixing. But at the same time, you don't see any force involved in your undoing. Because you think your thoughts are yours, and think your actions are yours, and so therefore if you have an impulse to do something, well, it feels like freedom. But then, of course, as I started off to say, there's two kinds of love. One that saves and, well, the word's one that saves. I couldn't find any more, because saves says it all. It heals. It comforts in a good way, not an artificial way. And I'm going to sort of peddle water just a little bit before the break, because I don't want to say too much before the break, because it means I have to say it all over again after the break, because we have a different audience. I want to say all of it after the break. There are two kinds of love, and the love that this lady who called in yesterday was giving her husband, who was in dialysis, who overdosed himself with insulin, was the kind of love that was killing him, and she didn't realize it. And it's a terrible thing to say that I love my husband, he's a good man, and then tell the lady, but the reason why he's in a wheelchair is because you think he's a good man when he's a weak man, and you're rising to the occasion of his weakness as if you could save him, isn't it? Sort of ego involved. Now, there's a lot I can't say in a few minutes, but she saw it. And he knew it. He knew that there are people who, when they love too much, become addicted to it, and they hate the person that loves them, but they can't live with it. They can't live without it, don't you see? So they hold the anger in and suck up the love, and at the same time hate their lover, because their whole life depends on false love, but it's creating conflict within them. There's false love and true love, and I want to make sure, show you the difference wherever I can. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
I wonder if how many of you listened to my program yesterday evening. Was it? I think it was the second hour of the program. Was it that was the lady that had the husband in on a dialysis? It's the second hour. So maybe you heard it. When I accused the woman, and she was not offended, she was actually relieved to hear that her love was killing her husband. Love kills. Loving kindness is one of the biggest killers, besides being mean. Meanness kills, confuses, confounds. It affects people in a puppy-like way. I mean, when you treat people like a dog, they react like, if they react like a dog and do not, and I lose stature, you must, as I speak, I'm going to sort of correct myself as I go along, because in my explanations, I'm going to stop along the way and give a little talk about this. Like, if you react like a dog, it means you've lost control of yourself. That I'm calling dog you. You're the animal. You're the creature. And there's a creature that is shaped by the creator. And then there's the creature that is shaped otherwise. Call it good and evil forces. So the kind of love that uplifts and saves and heals and endears and ennobles and overcomes all fears and conflicts and produces, say, the kingdom of heaven on earth kind of personality is from the inner whispering of a wordless word. The dog whisperer, which I love very much, I love him. I love to meet him. He always talks about energy. And so the person who does not react with resentment, very few of you fit into this category. Those who can take criticism and praise. Oh, you look so wonderful, dear. Oh, I love you, dear. And you know, do special things for that person, looking for their approval. That love will kill the person towards whom it is aimed. But it takes a long time. And, of course, the lady yesterday was married 12 years, and she did not know she was doing it. There are some people who know how to control the dog's nature. When I say your creature self, that's the dog. Pavlov's dog. And you could have a dog whisperer on the outside. Your the chief dog whisperer now in this country is your Obama. And all those phonies, those cronies. And they know how to dog whisper you. And you do not know how to resist this. You really do not know. hardly any of you know. I don't care how disciplined, how educated, erudite. I'm going to only ask you a simple question. Do you get upset sometimes? Now, if you ask me, the answer's no. Now, I can raise my voice. Stop! I say, if I don't say it, if I say it quietly and I don't listen, the kids don't listen, I'll shout. But don't accuse me of being angry by shouting. Or raising my voice. Or being stern. Put that down. See? Or I can say, put it down. There's no anger there. My children, when they were small, I would pretend like I was a dragon. But I wasn't a dragon. I wasn't really, but it was a... And I would chase them to bed up the stairs, and they'd laugh. But it wasn't the kind of thing that was really meant to frighten them. See, I could have frightened them and been a mean father, and they went up to bed in a different way. And so, therefore, everything, whenever you react to anger, or whether you cause others people to react with anger, you are damaging their relationship with their Creator. You're interfering with their inner whisperer. You become their dog whisperer. If you're strong in this, you create sheeple. Sheeple who will cave in to keep the peace. Most liberals are like that. That's the nature of a liberal. It's not a political party. The nature of a liberal to go too far towards the love. I always say in about liberals and conservatives, liberals have love, what do I say about conservatives? Yeah, they have love. They have love and no truth, and the conservatives have truth and no love. So that's not good, is it? So you can have all the truth in the world. You can actually have truth and preach the truth, but there's no love in it. Or you can fake the love with that truth, and that energy can actually destroy somebody. It's called hypocrisy. And the dog whisperer himself, I love it. A good show to watch. Very good show for the family. If you could be a good referee and explain what's going on, the way I do it to my kids, so they understand the principle. So you can have all the techniques. You can have the body language that the dog understands. And he says it. But if you don't have the right energy, it doesn't work. It's not good. You've got to have the right energy because you've got to be... Now, you can train dogs differently. He trains them in a way of a pack leader, in a good way. You can train dogs in a bad way. You can make them attack dogs. See? And then I know that you can be cruel to a dog, and the dog reflects the cruelty. And so when people treat you like a dog, a lot of people treat their dogs as their family, and their family as dogs. And I think Caesar says the same thing. He says, treat the dog as a dog and a person as a person. A lot of people don't know. They make their animals their friends. And they don't treat them like dogs. They treat them like humans. And they take them, and being animals, they take advantage of your weakness. And that's where he comes in and says, look, you're weak. He smells your weakness. He takes advantage of you. How much more would a predator, a human being who is evil, how much more would a human being who is evil take advantage of that? Because you can. There's a social engineering technique, highly sophisticated, whereby you can actually love people and kill them with kindness, demoralize them with kindness, make them dependent on that kindness, giving them candy. Now that would be money, for example. And to making them dependent upon your spoiling. And after a while, you'll see this in the inner cities where people are on welfare. You see much crime there. That's because the government, parent figure, nanny state, spoils them. They don't have to work. They get privileges and they get money for practically nothing or nothing. But they can't grow. They become miseducated, so that helps them not to grow even more so. And they feel lifted by the fact that government loves them. But they can't grow as other people do, who grow to be successful, save their money and grow in character and brightness. So there's an enmity between those who can't grow because the government loves them, or mama has a favorite kid, and that kid gets all the benefits they don't deserve because they're pliable. They submit to mom or dad, and you're the odd man out because you have your own mind. If you have your mind, your own parents will reject you. You could have a government in your own household where the weak, those who submit, are favored, and those who think for themselves are otherwise treated. And then you might resent that. You really if you are one of those people, you ought to be thankful that you're not the brother or sister that was spoiled. And so, you know, because it makes you hunger for love, and that anger separates you, that even that injustice can separate you from your indwelling good. And then you become a person of the world because having resented your brother, being jealous of your brother, or hating your parent for spoiling him and giving him positions and privileges that he doesn't deserve and punishing you for being an individual. This is what the government does, don't you see? That's what a fascist government does. So it happened. I'm trying to show you this everywhere so that you get traumatized by it. And you can actually hate your mother and you hate your brother because of the hypocrisy of it, the injustice of it. And that is a programming that separates you from your inner whisperer. And it makes you a rebel looking for, well, for excitement and something to fill that emptiness. And so, looking for the love of the world, looking for approval, or hating those who give it to others. But the point is, it separates you and gives you problems. Anger, and coming back to the point now, anger, resentment, separates you from your inner intimidation. The word is intimidation, and the right word for your reaction is resentment. So you have an intimidator, a source of injustice of any kind, especially an authority. Authority is like a parent. And that's why when authorities misuse your money, it's much more powerful than a person who's a friend who steals from you. Authority is very powerful because you can't speak back to them, just like you can't speak to the parent. If you speak back and you rebel, they put you in prison. So then what you do? You take it out on other people. Or you look for approval for other people. Damned if you get it. Damned if you don't. If you get it, you become a slave for it. And then you start, if you're the slave for it, it means you're giving power to the person who's enslaving you. And sometimes the person who loves you may be enslaving you, and they may not realizing it. But then pretty soon, you sense there's something wrong with the love that someone's giving you. And you start having contempt for them. And then there's a whole scenario right there. You start, like Michael Jackson, for example. I can tell you, deep down inside. And what's the other fellow? I always forget his name. The King. Yeah, they're both it. Deep down inside, Elvis Presley hated your guts, the audience. He couldn't say it. But he was the kind of person who craved, or he was seduced because he was charming. He was a good kid. I know that. That was a good kid. Wholesome kid one time. Decent. With a good future. But he had this ability to shake himself and excite people and help them forget their suffering and pains and foolishness. And well, everybody applauded him. And he got very rich. Now, there's something about seeking approval, being addicted to another's approval to complete who you are. It has to. Once you start to fall for praise, or once you fall to being demoralized so that you need praise because you feel worthless. Or you turn around and do the demoralization, see, and then it's another scene there. But once you fall for praise and glory, once you get the power, the money, and the I love you thing, which is even more than money, more important, a sense of worth, a sense of who you are comes from that, a sense of self-esteem, an enablement. It's sort of an enablement of something that's not good, but it's dependent on the enabler. It's a very subtle thing. Once you get that, several things can happen. One of them, you can hate the person. Like Elvis, I can tell you, he hated his audience. But that hate created a greater hollowness, and then created a need for the guilt to be fulfilled by performing harder. The audience is never satisfied with normal, what's normal. The audience is hungry for more exciting, more excitement, more flash, more energy from the performer. And so, the same with the woman who services a man with sex. If she's controlling through it, or she's being controlled through it, there's always a growing hunger on the part of the man who has equated sex with love. Always a greater hunger. So the more he gets, the more he wants. Now, there's a point of normalcy that's overreached, and when that happens, it reaches to the woman to give what is abnormal for her to give, and she starts to resent it. She feels unclean, dirty. But then she resents it, but then feels guilty. When she feels guilty, she yields. She surrenders. And when she surrenders, the man comes down to gorge, to have a sense of worth. But she takes something from him too. See? There's an exchange going on. He gets a sense of worth, and she gets power. But she hates this power. She feels unclean with this power. And so, but again, there's a whole scene that develops from here, and I'm trying to say to you, you could be caught up in a trap like this. And so which one of them, if rather than going to the whole scene, tell me, which one are you? Are you the one that's seeking approval, and suddenly find yourself being rejected, no matter how much you love to be loved? The person has discovered, you know, started to hate you and have contempt for you, and where formerly they started to love you and get you addicted to that love, now they've turned on you and are using your frustration, them not giving it to you, to make you work harder for it. And the angrier you get, the more guilty you are, the further you fall from what love is about, and the more you cling to the very thing that's killing you. And it either, if it gives you love, it encourages you to be more of a slave. And after a while, you might feel like you're a slave. You can't explain it. And then you might hate her for giving you what she should be giving you. You might hate her for not saying no. You might be relieved to say, I'm not going to give you sex tonight, I've got a headache. See? But if she can't say no, and she gives it to you, down you come for that. Come away further. Because what you're doing is falling, moving into a woman towards and away from what's bothering you. It's called conscience. And so you come down to accept a momentary sense of pleasure and glory through it. And you become less of a human being. And then secretly you start hating that person for giving you that love. And then you start behaving badly so they don't give it to you. And then the person who would be giving it to you to get the love, to be also to have love, because you got goes is the illusion both ways, can't understand. Why are your children? Now let's take it to your children. Why are your children so rebellious? You want to love them. But one kid can't get enough, and the other kid doesn't want anything to do with it, doesn't want anything to do with you. The more you want to love them, the more they run away from you. They do bad things, so you stop loving them. Do you have a child like that? That's because your love is killing them. It's making them weak. If they don't know how to explain it, so they have to run away. They have to make it so you don't love them. But the more you try to make that person not love you, the more angry they are, and the more they feel like the behavior, yes, is their fault. They haven't loved you enough. No, the truth is you're loving them too much. And the more you love them, the more of a criminal they become. And this is where we were with the lady. She had married a man. She loved this man. He was a good man, but she was loving him to death, and he was sitting in a wheelchair with dialysis, and he's in a coma. And I had to tell her, he's not a good man, he's a weak man. You married him. What was your mother like? Mean. Oh, so you're trying to be not like your mother. Oh, that's right. So you're not going to be being like your mother, so you found a weak man so that who needs you, then it will draw love from you because it's a womanly thing. They're very maternal. It's maternalistic. And you felt useful loving him. Though some people love criminals. They take the worst kind of criminal and marry them while they're in prison. You know, have some kind of ceremony. But they're attracted to a criminal because a criminal needs love. Dirty old men need love too. And so they feel useful, needed by this creep. But they will feed the need like a devil feeds, you know, his children. Get it? So, I don't know if I can take it any further because there is something there for all of you. All right, now I'm going to take our calls. On 800-866-8883, I may have gone too far. Just read an email. Roy, people need to listen to Roy Masters with a great deal of discretion. What Roy's deep sanctimoniousness keeps him from seeing is that there is an underlying biology to the trauma state. Accordingly, contrary to what Roy Masters and David will tell you, doctors, especially competent psychiatrists and psychologists, can in fact substantially help you substantially. Keep in mind that Roy is so delusional that he wrote a book on physics without first reading anything on the topic. Well, Einstein actually wrote the theory of relativity without reading anything on the topic. He invented it. He discovered it all by himself. All great people bring forth a good that everybody else then has to have the misfortune of having to study because they don't have to take the journey. That's more fun in the journey, you see. I always throw away my instructions, by the way. I always thought when I was a kid, I throw the instructions away, and when I couldn't fix it, then I look for them. That's learning. That's the good way. My answer to that was I very rarely get email criticism. Very rare. But this one I thought I'd answer. Dear Nameless One, I rarely get criticisms, and when they do, they are like yours, anonymous, cowardly, and nameless. And remember, that's what they do. If you would like to be a guest on my program, all you need to do is pick up the phone and dial 800-866-8883 and tell me to my face exactly what you wrote in that email. Then we shall see how your defamations stand up in the light of reality. I wonder if you realize you are playing the role of a bushwhacker. Call me tonight and let me see your backbone. I'm saying if you have criticism, don't nudge somebody. If you have a criticism of what I said this evening, for example, that love kills, I tell you love kills. Your president loves certain kinds of people. Is that correct? And he's destroying them. He's demoralizing them and degrading them into his service. I give you two examples. Jesus says the greatest of you should be the servant of all. But then there's a certain group of people that do it this way. To serve is to rule. To serve is to rule. Politicians look at it that way. You serve people and you enslave them. You make them dependent on your service. And they never get better. They never get rich. Then you blame their sadness on somebody else. We'll be right back. Oh, yes. Now, where's my commercial? I did have it right here just a few seconds ago. Here it is. Pip-Hip and all that sort of stuff. Let me see. I am going to do, please God, the science program on Friday. I kind of enjoyed it last Friday. So, but it's all about the science that came out of me. And as a gift, you know, to the world. Just like what I do now on my program, I feel is God's gift through me. And everyone who has talent is God's gift through that person. And now Michael Jackson is not exactly that person, but perverted people see it that way. I'm sorry to say. But that those who die for you, fighting for your freedom, they are the ones that deserve the honor. But you see the strange things, we have a perverted country. We hold up perversions and extol the virtues of perversion, upside down thinking, and degrade those who are noble. It's a good and evil war. But anyway, but science to me is a love. And yes, I am not schooled in anything, but I've read 17 books. And Einstein really wasn't schooled in. He brought forth something. And he brought forth something without going to all the classes. He was a clerk in the patent office, and he brought forth the theory of relativity as a young man, because he knew how to bring forth something. And I want to warn you, the people who think that because you don't have a degree and didn't go to school, that you're stupid. I say the chances are that if you jump through all the hoops, you'll never really have a sane breath as long as you live. You've got to learn to discover something with that. But if you've learned it off by heart and swallowed it or hook, line, and sinker, you may have lost your individuality. And that is what many of us have lost, their individuality through our schooling. And religion, we lose our individuality. We've got all those different shades of religion. We've got 10,000 different forms of Christianity. Each one says something different from the other. I wonder what the founder would say about that, because he knew that was coming, I guess. So what if you discovered a religion? What if you were showed what religion was, what the basics of physics was, and they didn't put the big bang in your face? What if they gave you the truth of what the origin was? Then you'd learn so quickly you wouldn't need your teachers. And it wouldn't be good for business. Same with health. So, forgive me, this program is dedicated. This program is dedicated to help you to help yourself, to educate yourself, to learn to get better by yourself. But you need the inside whisperer. Right now, the dog whisperer is outside. You need the God whisperer on the inside. And then you will have the energy and the fortitude to endure what is about to come down the line. Go to my website, fhu.com, fhu.com, or call my office, 800-877-3227.
Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
All right, we'll take our calls now. Remember, go to the homepage on fhu.com and click Gravity Driven Universe to read the download of my revised gravity thesis. We added to extra 20 pages. And then you click twice. I think there's a click, some other buttons, all the little buttons there that you click that to hear the science show from last Friday. It says, listen to Science Show on Friday, June the 26th. Another one, call me on Friday night at 800-866-8883 for the new Science Friday at 9 p.m. to midnight. Actually, not to midnight, but to 11 o'clock. 9 to 11, but it's refed all night, so you can listen in it anytime you want. Now we're going to take our show. All right. 800-866-8883. I'm taking my blood pressure while I'm talking to you because I just had an operation and it's backfiring a little bit. So I may have to leave the program a little bit, but I'm going to take my calls while I still can. Okay, now, here's, let me see. I can't read the name. In Medford, but I can't read the name there. Oh, Medford, New Hampshire. All right. All right. Okay, go ahead, Med. I thought it was Medford.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay. I need to talk to you about an insight that I had recently involving my introverted personality. I feel as though I'm living a life of involuntary isolation and solitude. The inner voice that you keep talking about in me is very angry and depressed.
But let me stop you there. Your name is Med?
Yes.
Okay. The voice that you're listening to isn't God. And it's the voice that has corrupted you and torments you.
It's destroyed my character.
I know, but no, you let it. And only because you needed just a little tiny piece of advice, which I will try to endeavor to impart to you in this moment. You have to learn to separate from your creature self. You know what I mean by your creature self?
Yes, I do.
In other words, you are a spirit in a body. An ape doesn't have a spirit, it's just an ape. It has no understanding because it's come from a line of evolution, if you like. You know, the survival of the fittest and all the sort of selective breeding. You know, the strongest, the survival of the fittest and so on and so forth. I don't have to lecture on that, but it comes from a long line and they inherited their behaviors. They don't have to learn very much. There's not a whole lot to learn. Because it's all imprinted, and the survival mechanism is all there. And environment gives the instructions to the creature. And human beings are constructed differently. And the evidence is that we've actually inherited this environmental conditioning, for which reason we find ourselves in great consternation, because when we come into the world, we're coming into a poisonous world. And most families are poisonous.
Yeah.
They don't know it. I just talked about the lady who I loved yesterday, and when I told her she was killing her husband by being sympathetic for him, because at the same time she was angry with him because her love didn't make him better, it made him worse. And she couldn't understand why her love didn't work. She was playing God. And then she resented him for not getting better and then felt guilty and tried harder to be nice to him, and he was hating her for it. Because he was overwhelmed. He couldn't say no to the love. And he just was angry and submitted to it and tried to get along with her. And that encouraged her to love in a way that was killing him. Encouraged her to be an enabler to him. And she even tried, he even tried to tell her, look, don't do this to me. He said, you got me in a pedestal, please don't do it. But he was too feeble. She said, I talked him out of it. I talked him out of seeing that. And with that, she woke up. She woke up. So what I'm trying to say to you is that we all have handlers out there. We're born, even though we're animals, we have a potential of being saved while we're still in our animal nature. In other words, you have two forces arrayed against you. One of them is the one you're born with, the world, the environment, your animal creature, subject to the world around you. That's original sin, man born of woman. First failing man, unloved woman, gives birth to another failing men. A sequence of failing men go have sex with unloved women, and they don't love them, they just sex them. They take their pleasure, and it reproduces the problem of misery and suffering, reproduces itself endlessly, complicates itself to almost to eternity. But every now and then a person wakes up and realize there's something wrong with the way he exists. And because they're willing to wake up. not willing to excuse things anymore or excuse other people anymore. And if you could just separate from your thoughts, that's all I ask you to do, is use the meditation to separate from your thinking. And if you love the truth, you can do it. If you don't love the truth, you cannot. And that's the end of it. So I'm going to ask you, do you think you love truth?
Yes, I do.
Would you know the truth when you hear it?
I hear it from you.
Good. Now, but I'm putting it into words, but the truth you will hear, the truth that you're hearing is not words. It bears witness to what I'm saying. Is that correct?
Well, can I stop you there?
Yes.
Instead of using the word creature, can I use the word tormentor?
Okay, tormentor. Yes, because inside your creature self, there's a tormentor.
And the top of the list of my tormentors is shame.
Yes, and so therefore, what you're saying is, because you have a soul, and animals don't, they have no conflict with themselves. The animal has to follow its impulses, otherwise it dies. And animals have to eat others and consume them, and that's the dog-eat-dog world, and there's no conscience about that, nor should there be. And there's reasons for this. But human beings are not supposed to devour each other. They're not... You have to learn, for example, as a result of what you're going through, that you have not be angry with people because they're animals, and inside that animal there's a spirit that's destroyed the soul of that animal, and it's using the animal self to torment you like they were tormented, to do unto you what was done unto them. They can't help it. They're creating a clone. Your mother and father could be both of those. Your mother can be the enabler of the beast in your father, but there's still a beast master in her who learns how to manipulate his anger or make him weak for the sake of her power.
That's my story. Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
A dominating mother and a angry, wild man father.
I know, but this creates trauma in you. And all you have to do is to realize that their nature has got inside you and you don't want to be like them. Is that correct?
No.
You see what was wrong, but you don't know how to make it right. That's all that's wrong with you.
That was my role model.
I know, but I'm your role model now.
Yes, you are. So
not everybody's like that. So I'm asking you to think of your mother and father as little children born like you and born into a family like they became. In other words, there's generations of this goes back as far as you can go. Sometimes without dozens of generations, without anyone ever knowing anything other than being doing to others in the next generation what was done to them in the preceding generation. And so those little children were just like, they were born innocent, they were both destroyed, and mom looks for love and she gives her body to your dad and they fall in love and he's a beast. And she doesn't know she's nurturing a beast with the undeserved love. And he's becoming hungrier and hungrier, and she's becoming angrier and angrier. But the more angry she is, the more guilty she feels, the more obligated she feels to give him sex. And after a while, she hates him for wanting it. And all kinds of crazy stuff. They argue and fight. They have sex. They make up. They fight. They sex and they make up. See? Love, hate, love, hate, 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 love. After a while, you don't know what... There's no difference between the two. I had a man... I'll tell you a story. I had a man a long time ago, and this is where I learned it from. He had sex problems. And this is what he told me. His sex problem got so bad that if anybody knocked on the door, he'd be on the floor with them. And then he'd hate himself afterwards, and he'd hate the woman for allowing it. He'd hate the woman, he'd blame her. But the more angry he got, the more sexually he became, the more empty he was, and the more he was easily aroused, the more hungry he got to forget how shameful he'd become, how deformed he'd become. So he was having sex 3, 4, 5 times a day with anything he could. And one day, but remember, first it's sex like love, and then afterwards you've got hate. Now the sex and the hate cut so close together that one day he found himself having sex with a woman and strangling her at the same time. They got so close together you couldn't tell the difference. There wasn't any difference. See, now, I'm not saying that that's your problem. I'm saying you've got to learn to let go of the thing that was in your father and your mother. You have, because it got in you because you hated them. But I'm asking you, I'm asking you to look at those, that mother and father, as they were born little child like you, and they were hurt like you, and that's not them. And they, but they're trapped in that body, and they couldn't help but do to you what was done to them. Let's put it that way. Supposing they couldn't help it any more than if you get married, you wouldn't be a very good father, would you?
Well, marriage and family has not been an option for me.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be. You'd probably be afraid to get married.
Yeah, I would.
See, there you are. Because you're afraid of either becoming weak or beastly like your father.
Yeah.
Because if you had a weak woman, the beast side of your father would come out. If you had a strong woman, then the submissive side of you would come out, see?
The alcoholism would come out.
I see that. So now, can you consider looking at your mother and father that way? And even if they are really mean, all the more reason why you should let it go. In other words, don't judge, even though I've given you two options, they really mean and enjoyed hurting you. Or they couldn't stop themselves and don't want to hurt you, but they couldn't stop themselves any more than you can stop yourself being what you are.
The second one.
So whatever one it is, it's the thing that makes a home in people, making a home in you. And that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with something that made a home in you, and it's tormenting you inside you. And it speaks to you in a language. And it has shame, but you fight with it and struggle with it, and that's your shame. If you could learn that you're giving it power, it's like your mother and father fighting in you. It comes up and it torments you, and you get angry with it. You get angry with it because you want to control it. But the anger takes away your control, and you're feeding it. You find yourself feeding yourself to it, like your father fed himself to your mother, or your mother fed herself to your father, depending upon who was the dominant one. See? Can you let that go? Hold the line. We'll be right back. Show numbers, let me see. 57, good Lord, my glasses do work. I just got them back today. We'll be right back. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't like reading these commercials, but I don't know what to say sometimes, and so they give me an idiot sheet, and here it is: gravity-driven universe. Download my revised gravity thesis. It's extra 20 pages that were missing. They were missing because they weren't edited yet, and I was too hasty to put it up. But you will understand the thesis much better if you have the preamble to it. And if you want to hear the science show, you can click the blue button and listen to the science show on Friday, June the 26th. And then also, I am not taking the 4th of July off. I'm a little embarrassed about the 4th of July. I don't see the American flag going up and everybody cheering. I think we need to have the one that says, "Don't tread on me." And I'm a little embarrassed about my countrymen and how feeble they are, how weak they are for government handout. And if you get upset about this, you see, if you get upset about all this that was going on, and your wife, you know, your husband is a liberal and you're not, and she loves Obama and you don't, and, I mean, your country, your whole, you got a gentleman, you need to do a program on this. You need to take your family back. Right now, the government has the women and the children. And you're the odd man out. That's the problem, isn't it? It's a feminist society. Men are outcasts. Odd man out. It's the way it's happened, isn't it? And our Republicans have not been strong enough to take that stand, have they? They allow themselves to be demoralized and degraded, defamed. They didn't know how to stand up to the witch, did they? The feminine side, the crazy side of the Democratic Party, which is not a Democratic Party, it's a communist, isn't it? So, but Friday night is not about that, thank goodness. It's about science. But the science I have will solve the energy crisis. I really mean that. There's a way to get electricity from gravity. All I have to do is convince the scientific community that gravity is what I say it is, and it isn't what they say it is. So that's about all it is. But, of course, in the thesis, which is up on the web, for free, you can read it. It's almost 50 pages. It shows where to drill for the oil, why it will. The oil is just a metaphor, and what kind of machinery you'd need. But you have to know that space has that potential. We'll be right back Friday night. Be there with me.
Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
All right, now, I'm going to talk to my friend here in New Hampshire. His name is Med. Are you still there, my friend?
Yes, I am.
Now, look, your problem is you've got to let that anger towards your parents go and have compassion on them because they know not what they do. Even Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father," while he was being beaten to death. They wanted to intimidate him into submission. What a prize he would have been for the dark side, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he would try to tell everybody, that's how you have to deal. You mustn't hate the hurter. You can feel the hurt, but you mustn't judge or hate or resent, because that's exactly what's happening. You fall to judgment, and the nature of pride pops up in you and torments you and becomes your master.
Could I put it this way? Because of the all-pervasive sense of shame, I bounce around between fear, anger, and depression.
I know, but you see, the thing is, fear is the other side of anger.
Yes.
And when you fear, you can't function. When you're angry, you can't function properly.
Right.
And both of the between the two of them, you are ashamed because you can't go forward in life.
Right.
You're afraid of authority. You're afraid to speak up. Look, if you drop the anger, if you sit and meditate where I teach you, and separate, all you have to do is be willing to serve a purpose greater than your own, which is within you, waiting to unfold, to become your whisperer. I said a few moments ago, the reason why you can understand me, you're not understanding me. You're understanding my words, but you're not understanding with words, are you? You're understanding with something that is wordless. It says, this man is saying something good to you. He's talking about the wordless me inside you. Follow that?
Yes.
Okay, so you mustn't go to war with those words in your head screaming at you, tormenting you. The thing that gets made a home in you is tormenting you, and you don't want to do what it wants, but it has power over you because you let it in by hating your parents. That's why I say, forgive your father, let it go. Let it go, because every time something goes wrong with your life, it goes right back to hating your mother and father, blaming them. If they had been different, I would have been all right. Now, the truth is, you needed this. You needed this kind of suffering, because everybody has to come to a point where they suffer, and either they see that there's something wrong with the way they exist, or they kind of enjoy suffering and enjoy creating suffering. Actually, enjoy the suffering. Enjoy the secret judgment and the misery and the suffering that they impose around them. But it doesn't matter as far as your parents are concerned. You really never know the difference whether they enjoyed fighting and killing one another and making your life a misery and creating a trauma in you, making you a wimpy person, a fearful person. All you have to do is let it go. And from this moment on, when something is not quite right, wait for the moment, wait for the anger to pass, wait for the fear to pass. In other words, when something's happening to you that's cruel, done cruel to you, all you need to do is focus your mind on your thoughts and your feelings and stand back and watch how you feel and don't do anything. Don't keep the anger out. Don't indulge the anger. Don't fall into the fray. Don't fall into the fight. If you do that, the anger will fade, the fear will go away, and all of a sudden out of your mouth will pop something you've never said before, and the minute you say it, that moment will find you living in freedom.
Well, that would be a great relief.
Well, you do that, and you call me back.
I have a vacation coming up at the end of July, and I was thinking of coming out there.
Why don't you? Well, we're fixing the ranch up. We've got 2-3 rooms ready. By the 4th of July, we should have 4 or 5 rooms ready. So you could call the office tomorrow, and I've got to say goodnight to you because we're coming to the end of this segment. And I must excuse myself. I'm not feeling too well this evening, so which is I've been taking. I had an operation a little while ago. I just took for so that you don't worry. I had an operation on the prostate to undo something that was done very badly many years ago, and I'm taking something to keep it, you know, from swelling, and it's had a bad effect on me, so I best not do the program this evening, but otherwise I'm fine. I just want you to know. Okay, fair enough? And so no need to worry, because I've seen this before. And call tomorrow evening, because it'll be an hour. David may want to take it over. Does David want to take over? Because we've got some nice calls. Is he there? Well, call him up, and maybe he can and he can answer these questions, because a lot of people are waiting. Otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, support the program with your tax-deductible donations, and I thank you very much for listening. How many minutes have we got left? 30 seconds. Well, the number is 1-800-877-3227. A call, my office. And remember Friday I'm going to do, please God, the science program, and I do hope to have some intelligent inquiry and good discussions on the energy from gravity, space. FHU.com is the website you go to, and see if you can get David to do the program. I'd appreciate it very much. Otherwise, tomorrow night I'll be back.
Are you overwhelmed by pressure and stress?
Already things are being resolved in my life. Fences are coming down. I'm mending fences that really broke the ice fly. I'm so grateful.
Are you ready to have your life become a success story?
I had gone through 15 years of therapy with a psychiatrist. It still didn't help. So I bought several of the CDs, and he had a lot of the answers that I didn't get with a doctor. It's been real helpful. I don't get as worked up about problems. I just stay calm. Different things will come up, and I'll just work it out.
Are you ready to stop struggling? Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227. Learn a simple technique that will change your life. Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know. Are you ready to take control over your life?
Before I got involved in doing the observation exercise, I used to go to a 12-step group. I don't go to them anymore because I discovered that they're basically worthless, because all I'm doing is talking about my past. Since I started doing the exercise, I barely think about the past anymore. It's going away. But even in those periods when I used to go to these recovery groups, it seemed like the longest period of time I could ever go without backsliding would be like 3 months. This time, I don't feel guilty about what I did. I understand what I did. This type of an incident in the past would have put me in a depression. I would have stopped working, just created more and more pain for myself. You talk about how you effortlessly will leave these things behind, and it's so true. It's so amazing.
Are you ready to stop struggling? Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Learn how to deal with stress properly. Visit FHU.com. Thank you.